Perhaps you've seen the pictures of relatively simple jobs that just haven't gone well. The painted instruction on the road directing your turn, the workers installing bollards and trapping themselves in a tight spot. This replaced inspection cover at the end of Park Avenue here in Poynton. You had one job. And we'll meet today a man who was given a job by God. It wasn't a simple job, but there was a clear direction from God. Today and for the next two Sundays, we're going to open up the book of Jonah. We'll see today Jonah's response to God's call, people's response to trouble, and the sailor's response to rescue. Next week, we'll see Jonah's worldview recalibrated as he's rescued from the sea. And the final week, we'll learn that Jonah still hasn't got it. He still doesn't believe in God's offer of compassion to the city of Nineveh. Now, one of the problems with this book is our association with it as a children's story. We treat it like we know. But can I encourage you today, this week, to read through the story from the Bible? It will take you less than 10 minutes. Four short chapters that speak of one man's mission and part in God's purposes. Four short chapters which speak hope to God's people about their role in the world. Four short chapters which will challenge us about how we live today and how we respond to God's call on our lives. So come with me as we ask God to speak to us through the words of the book of Jonah. Firstly, a response to God's call in verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." The call is the word of the Lord. It is not vague, it is specific. It is to a particular person at a particular time. Jonah at this time is given one job by God. But even the words of God's word give us a sense of how big this task is. The city is great. That is, it is a large and powerful force in the world. And Jonah is to speak God's word and his ways into a culture that is far removed from what God desires. Perhaps we can understand why Jonah was hesitant about heading off on a solo mission to Nineveh. The people had a reputation for violence, for brutality. The prophet Nahum speaks against Nineveh. "Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears. Many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses." Nineveh is not somewhere that is going to get great reviews on TripAdvisor. The task is like asking a prominent church leader today to go out, to head out on a solo mission to the sworn enemies of the gospel and declare the unique truth that Jesus Christ is alone worthy of praise and allegiance. But Jonah is not looking for God to show his grace to people like the Ninevites. When we meet Jonah in 2 Kings chapter 14, we see that the message he speaks to Jeroboam the king leads to restoration of the borders of Israel. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea in accordance with the word the Lord, the God of Israel, had spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. So at the start of this book, we have God's call, and in response, Jonah decides that Nineveh is so other, so evil, so scary, they don't deserve to hear God's word. And that task is not for him. In the light of this, we're really not surprised when Jonah heads in the opposite direction. Do you notice how many times Tarshish gets mentioned in verse 3? Just so we get the point that Jonah is definitely not heading to Nineveh, but in the opposite direction. Jonah thinks that distance will ensure God can't get to him. Perhaps as he heads somewhere where there won't be any other Israelites. Yet Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, "You have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Jonah hears God's call to mission and responds by running away, seeking to hide himself from God. How much do we avoid Christian company when we know we are doing wrong? If there's something going on in your life that you know just isn't right, do you avoid coming to church, to home group meetings, so that no one can ask you about it or challenge you? The ship is going in the opposite direction to Nineveh. As William Banks puts it, when a person decides to run from the Lord, Satan always provides complete transportation facilities. Is there something God has been bringing to your mind about how he wants you to serve him, and you're trying to head in the opposite direction? Be assured that as God calls, he equips. He doesn't promise an easy call, but he does promise his presence. It is never a solo mission. God's word goes out asking all for a response. Perhaps you've heard many times that God loves you, that Jesus died and rose so that death would not be the end for you. That word asks for a response to you. How might you respond today if you haven't before? If you're running from God for whatever reason, can I encourage you, I urge you, I pray, stop. Turn. And then we see a response to trouble in verses 4 to 15. I don't know if you've ever found yourself on a rough sea crossing or cruise. It is one thing to be worried or sick in a storm if you're not used to being at sea. But we see here seasoned sailors afraid. The sailors know something is wrong. They are afraid that their ship is going to be broken up and that they will all lose their lives. This is no random storm. The Lord has sent, has hurled a great wind. Its aim is to disrupt Jonah's running away. But the sailors are impacted too. And what do? We might commend them for combining prayer and action, but there is an issue with their prayers. Do you notice in verse 5? The problem of their prayers is that they are random. They don't know if they're being heard. They are crying out, each man to his own God. We don't know which gods, perhaps what small idols were on the boat, but they weren't praying to the God of heaven and earth. They were praying to the sky. Their response to the trouble of the storm is both to try and solve the problem by throwing their cargo overboard and also by shouting prayers over the storm to any god that might hear. The sailors aren't impressed with this man who perhaps still has an air of a prophet asleep. Perhaps Jonah is so low that he can't face anyone. He literally cannot get out of bed. But this doesn't stop him being awoken and instructed to pray. The pagan sailors are instructing the prophet of God to pray. And yet there's no record of Jonah doing as instructed. He still doesn't confess, he still doesn't pray. Rather, when the lot of blame falls on him, he asks to be thrown overboard. He would rather enter the turbulent sea than seek the forgiveness of the gentle God of compassion or see God's word, go to Nineveh. Do you see how the sailor's questions highlight how far Jonah has come from his God-given mission in verse 8? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Jonah's nation, people, and role should mean that he is the one praying to the Lord, but he does not. He answers their questions, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now this strikes fear into the hearts of the sailors. They would expect a God to either have a geographical area or a particular part of life to look after, but Jonah speaks of a God of universal power, the God of heaven. Is this the point at which Jonah is going to get it? Will he realize where he's been going wrong? He's just told them his God is the one who made the sea. He assents to this power of God intellectually, but he's not stirred into action. The captain proclaims that Jonah's rebellion is found out. God uses his words to try and reach Jonah. Now we must be careful here. This was a particular time and place and story. I don't think every storm is a result of God trying to get the attention of a reluctant evangelist like Jonah. But might we be wise to see that our actions and attitudes do have consequences, and that sometimes the troubles of our lives, sometimes they push us to new understandings of God's love in the midst of trial? Can this speak to us? In the troubles of our life, can we combine action and prayer to the God who hears? What might God want you to do this week? What might he want you to pray? As God knew Jonah's plans and rebellion, he knows ours too. Are you too proud or stubborn that you are living and acting as if you know best, not God? Do we have an identity and integrity problem like Jonah? He knew who he was and who God was, but his choices were in sharp contrast to God's ways. Jonah misses the opportunity to speak, to pray, to witness in front of the sailors who do not know the Lord. He does not have compassion on them. Where have we decided that a particular colleague, a friend, or neighbour is never going to respond well to the good news of God? So we simply stop looking for ways to speak and live the gospel so that they might hear. So Jonah has responded to God's call by running away in the opposite direction. The sailors have responded to the trouble of the storm by prayers to various gods with no real hope of rescue. But the storm is to be calmed. Does Jonah get it now? Does he cry out in prayer for the sailors, the ship, himself? Are we about to witness the powerful prayer of confession before God, seeking God's mercy and his grace? Rather than accept a change in direction, a possible turnaround towards the mission in Nineveh, Jonah asked to be thrown into the sea. He would rather die. The sailors are governed by a sense of what is right, and they can't square throwing their passenger overboard with that. So they try and put more effort into getting themselves out of trouble, but to no avail. So they pray. Not this time to a pantheon of gods, but to the Lord Yahweh, recognizing his sovereignty over nature. So verse 15, Jonah is ejected from the boat and the storm is stilled. So in verse 16, we see a response to rescue. We're going to stop at verse 16 today and pick up the story of God's grace to Jonah next week. The sailors, those who before now have not known God, are more than aware of their inability to save themselves. They turn in praise to the Lord. The response to rescue by God is worship, by which we mean expressions of praise, a sacrifice, and a changed life, vows to him. In the same way, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Throughout the book of Jonah, we see the unexpected respond to God in faith. The sailors, the city of Nineveh, spoiler alert, and the person we would expect runs away and grumbles. We see Jonah was reluctant. We know Jesus was not. Jonah heard the call of God and ran the other way. Jesus hears the call of his Father and humbles himself, was born as a helpless child, taught in word and deed about God's mercy and grace and judgment, and died and rose that we might be rescued. The message God gave to Jonah was the only hope for the city of Nineveh. The gospel is the only hope for our world. How will we respond this week?